Greetings, all of you taxi cab fans around the world. You are on the Mike and Abe show, coming to you live from the United States of America, where we could be in just about any state we want and do this show. Okay?
And you're damn right. I said a bad word. I'm sorry. Yes. Good evening. Good morning.
Yeah, Mike is in the state of New York, and I'm in some state somewhere else. Okay?
As my father used to say, I'm in a state of flux. Then he used to say, yeah, you're all fluxed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all fluxed up here in New York City.
Yeah.
So, Abe, you're doing a great show. You know, we got real people listening to this show now. We got people, you told me we got real people listening. Like, everybody's real, I know that, but we got some folks are taking a little shine to us, a little keen interest in our little thing we're doing here. So I'm flattered that that is, in fact, the case. And I want to thank everybody for listening, our loyal listeners. And, you know, call me anything but late for dinner, as long as you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And, Abe, you are the mastermind behind a lot of this geek stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of the way you've done it, and you've, you know, taken a lot of grief from me, whether it be scheduling or just me having my shorts in a bunch from time to time, because it is a stressful industry.
Uh-huh.
But I want to thank you for bringing it forward, I mean, to the point where it is now. It's cool.
Okay. And with that in mind, I want to just say with each adversity, you know, somebody said this to me a long time ago. Back in the 1970s, I had a job. I was selling life insurance, believe it or not, door to door, okay?
Yeah.
And I won't mention the company's name because they're a bunch of crooks, okay? But they did teach me. I did quit the job on account of that eventually. But they did teach me a couple of things. And one of the things that they wanted me to learn was that with each adversity lies the seed of equivalent or greater benefit. And I've never forgotten that saying. I don't know who coined it, okay? But what that means is, mm-hmm. you know, when things go wrong and you think that's horrible, suddenly out of it may come something good, okay? And what I'm referring to here is the story about the Uber driver who was caught pissing in a bottle by his passenger. Okay? Now this guy is taking a lot of heat from the Uberian hierarchies, right?
The Uberian intelligentsia.
Yeah, right. You know, we're taking him off the platform, this and that. But, you know, really what it's done is it's brought to light the problem that us taxi drivers have had for many, many years and continue to have, and that is the lack mm-hmm. of facilities, you know, and the ability to park your car, you know, and just go in and take a leak, okay?
Or take a leak. Bingo,
you know?
Thank you. I mean, this is real.
Yeah, this is real, okay? And, you know, we all have our ways of dealing with this, okay? Now, one thing I've never done in my taxi was pee while somebody was in the cab. Or I never actually peed while inside the cab, okay? But many times I've had to pee outside the cab in places where, I hate to say, weren't exactly legal, but they were discretional, okay?
Right.
All right?
Yeah, I've always wondered, if you get out of your cab and pee into a sewer, if you get out of your cab and pee directly into a sewer, why is that illegal? I mean, as long as you're not exposing yourself to something, but if you're outside your cab, peeing directly into a sewer,
mm-hmm.
why is that illegal? I mean, who are we kidding here?
I'd like to point out that dogs are allowed to pee in the street. You don't have to
on a fire hydrant.
You know, they don't have to even be on a fire hydrant. They could be anywhere in the sidewalk or the gutter and decide to take a leak. You have to pick up the dog poop, but you don't have to mop up the urine. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I want to quote Alan Fromberg from the TLC in one of the articles I read. And Alan, I appreciate that you actually said this, because for years and years and years I've been writing about this problem with no remedy for it, okay, from the TLC. Right. But he did say, while Uber and the New York Taxi and Limousine Commission, Deputy Commissioner for Public Affairs labeled the situation as poor judgment, perhaps additional measures to keep drivers from relieving themselves in a bottle while on duty out of desperation should be implemented sooner rather than later. So Alan does recognize the problem, okay? And he's bringing it to light. You know, he's the voice of the TLC. He's the, you know, the guy that talks to the newspaper people, okay? And,
right.
And you know, now the public knows about it. It's out in the papers, all right? So let's see what happens. Let's see if they actually do something to solve this problem. All right. Now
well,
I have made suggestions over the years. Okay, all right.
Right.
Now part of this problem, okay, is number one, having a place to park. All right, all right. Other than the taxi relief stands, which he admitted in another article, are not enough of them. Okay, but I have written in the past when I used to write for MiniPress, right, this suggestion, okay, and we don't really care, cab drivers, we don't really care if we have to pay 50 cents to park our car, okay, on a taxi meter, but I said that every avenue along the street, you know, just so the city won't lose any money, okay, on the parking meters, okay, every avenue, First Avenue, Second Avenue, where there are parking meters, one of those meters should be reserved on maybe every second block, okay, for a taxi cab to pull in, pay to park, and look for a place to pee, or within a range of a restaurant or some facility that's willing to help us, okay. And he did, and I did read that he said that restaurants should volunteer themselves to do this. Not that they will. Okay, but I had a couple of restaurants that I knew that were very friendly to me about it, and many were not friendly to me. Okay?
That's true.
Okay, now this problem is mainly in Manhattan, because when you're in the outer boroughs, you got the McDonald's and the Burger Kings and all of those places where you can pull into. Okay, but this is
right.
This is in Manhattan, and we used to use the McDonald's on 10th Avenue and 34th Street a lot. I used to use the McDonald's on 125th Street and Broadway. They're still there. But
right.
the McDonald's on 10th Avenue and 34th Street, they're gone, I understand. Right?
It's gone, brother.
Yeah.
It's over. Yes.
Okay. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that the people at the TLC are now aware of it, and perhaps they'll help and bring this problem to a close. Okay? Because it is... Mm-hmm. It is horrible that, you know, that we do go through this periodically, okay, during the day while we're working, okay,
and I'll tell you,
go ahead, Mike.
I'll tell you something. I just had a very dear friend of mine pass away. His name was Beresford Simmons. He was a big, you know, big shot at the taxi workers. Always, well, great guy, Jamaican guy. He was like a Jamaican James Earl Jones with the booming voice and a whole bit. And he had serious kidney problems later in life. He had to go for that. This guy was driving a handicapped cab, going for dialysis 3 days a week. And he had kidney problems. I mean, I don't know how much of that was related for cab driving, but I'm sure he drove a cab for 50 years. I'm sure somewhere along the line, 50 years of cab driving didn't exactly help his kidneys at all. So this is a very good time to say this. It's a horrible example, but I mean, he had some other medical issues, but then again, cabbies get a lot of these problems. They get prostate problems, they get bladder problems, they get bladder infections, they get kidney infections, all this stuff going on, intestinal problems, and I think a lot of it, you know, I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV, but a lot of it has to do with the fact you can't pull over during the daytime. I mean, nighttime, at least you have a, you know, snowball's chance in hell of being able to find a restaurant or a place to go. Daytime, you're locked in traffic. And if you're sitting in a traffic jam on Grand Central at 5 o'clock, you're not going to be anywhere for another half hour.
That's right. You can't even get off the thing.
And I think it's horrible, the fact that there are no facilities available. I mean, they tried to do it a few years ago, and of course the wackos started sleeping in the bathroom. So they tried to do a couple of public kiosks for people to urinate and defecate. I mean, we're all adults here.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was you would pay a quarter or 50 cents and you'd have a 10-minute waiting time and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, someone would go in there, they'd jerry-rig the lock, and they'd sleep in there all night and was out of commission and get broken and everything else. But, I mean, just you have 8.5 million people And the only way you can really use a public bathroom is if you buy something. I mean, you just can't walk into a restaurant. You're going to get stopped and say, excuse me, sir. So usually you buy a coffee, which makes you go to the bathroom. So you're in this this vortex of just, you know, buying coffee and going to the bathroom.
Yeah, for me,
so something has to be done.
For me, just want to say, for me, coffee doubles the problem.
Doubles the problem. But right. I mean, like I said, or you're in a restaurant or you're in a place, you have to buy something. And I mean, I was asking someone else, I said, what are these people doing New Year's Eve when they're waiting for the ball to drop in Times Square? And he said, well, a lot of these people wear diapers, which I never knew. So you have people waiting at New Year's Eve wearing diapers.
I can't believe that. That is so gross. Okay.
It's disgusting, but people do it. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, what's the alternative? I mean, you're standing somewhere where there's no bathroom, and there's probably a cop or a sanitation inspector or somebody waiting to write you a ticket as soon as you try to relieve yourself. So this is another problem in New York where we all have the same bodily functions, for God's sakes. I'm just wondering why the city of New York hasn't really done anything to let people find places.
The reason why they haven't done anything is because they have bathrooms where they work, and they don't care.
Right.
That's why. Okay.
Bingo.
And they figure, well, you know, for years and years and years, we've somehow dealt with the problem. Yeah, we did. We dealt with the problem. Many of us have gotten ill. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, I dealt with the problem by not driving every day. Okay, just suffering, going through this problem maybe a couple of days a week, you know, and you know, and so a lot of guys will go out to the airport just because they got to go to the toilet, you know. I mean,
they deadhead out there.
Yeah,
right. The airport, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the people on the street don't understand, you know, why is that cab passing me up? Well, you know, and they start calling racial discrimination. Well, maybe the racial discrimination was, I got to take a leak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, like I said, I remember back in the days, now I don't know if it's gotten better, but I wouldn't be caught dead. I probably would be caught dead inside the men's room of a subway or the Port Authority.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be the men's room at the Port Authority and Penn Station and the subways. That used to be where the hookers hung out. So, I mean, if you wanted to go just take a leak or relieve yourself, there'd be about five hookers in the men's room.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be cruising you. It's like, listen, I literally just want to go to the bathroom. And you take your life in your hand because they got razors and knives and they don't take no for an answer. You know. So, I mean, what happened to me once at Penn Station. I was going up the escalator at Penn Station. So I saw the men's room right by the escalator by 8th Avenue at Penn Station. I said, let me go and take a leak inside. I go, hey, no kidding. There were about four transsexual hookers there with a boombox blasting disco music inside the men's room.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I'm standing at the urinal, and one of the trannies comes over and starts like looking down at me while I'm taking a leak, like watching my junk as I'm taking a leak, and says, "How you doing, baby?" I said, "Well, I'll be doing better in about a minute when I'm out of here." They said, "Oh, you wanted this or this?" I said, "No, that's okay. Thank you very much. Goodbye." But I mean, they weren't even being rousted. They had the radio there, and they were cruising guys coming to the men's room. But I mean, this is what it's down to. No pun. So I mean, you got to straighten it out. Again, no pun.
Yeah, you know, there are also criminals that, if you happen to go into the stall and take your pants down, they could reach in and grab your wallet out of your pocket. You know, while the pants is.
Oh, they just reach under. I didn't hear about that. Just reach underneath. Like
That's why nowadays I've noticed where I am that some of the stalls are totally enclosed, where you close the door and you're in there, and there is no.
Oh really? Right, oh Jesus!
Yeah, there is no room for somebody to reach in, and you don't know. You know, I mean, you know, it's bizarre, man. It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
The things that go on in this. Let me, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, just jumping topics real quick, kind of related. We'll get back to the. We'll finish up the plight of the living for a second. But I remember once. This was recently, like 3 weeks ago. I'm dropping off on 37th and Madison in front of a hotel, and I put the bags outside the cab, and I'm talking to the guy as he's trying to figure out the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the guy just walks up, you know, just starts walking with the bags, and he says, "Excuse me, are you with the?" He goes, "Oh, no, I'm with the hotel." I said, "Well, what's the name of the hotel?" He says, "Excuse me," I said, "What's the name of the hotel?" He goes, and he throws the bags out and runs away. So just a little heads up to cabbies, you have fake doormen when you put the bags outside by the cab waiting for the people to get out. Just a little heads up, and then you get people standing by the hotel and well-dressed, too, mm-hmm. so it looks like they work there. They're taking the bags, and then they're just, like, walking away and running away.
What about the guys at the Penn Station or the Port Authority that say, let me get you a cab, and they open the door for you and grab your bag while you're getting in and take off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't hear that one.
Well, I've seen it happen.
Museum,
I've,
yeah.
I've seen it happen. Okay.
Oh, they grab the bag and just make up. They just bolt.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or they tell you that to pay them for the cab ride, that he works with the cab driver. Okay?
Yeah, that happened to me. I think I told this story previously.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That did happen to me. At the end of the trip, the guy said, oh, no, I gave the guy the money to the guy at Penn Station.
What guy?
I'm the guy.
I mean, this is New York,
folks.
There's
another guy.
You know?
There's another guy. There's another guy at the Museum Museum of Art. Metropolitan Museum of Art. I was getting confused. Metropolitan Museum of Art on 81st Street and 5th Avenue. There's a guy, he's there all the time. Looks like a psychotic crackhead holding the door for people to get into the cab. So basically the people don't get into the cab because they see this guy holding the door. And they want. And I'm a few times giving him a dollar to go away because I say, listen, it's a dollar, just go away. But I mean, the guy's got to be making $300 a day. Full-blown crackhead. He looks like he has lice and fleas. And where are the police to chase these people away? Why is it politically incorrect to get these wackos into a institution, you know, throw them in the shower, clean them up, give them an institution, get them off the streets? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're on the subways, they're on the streets. I've never seen anything like this. This is like back in the 70s up here, hey,
yeah,
when these people...
I know.
I mean, maybe that's the answer. It's just make believe you're a psychotic. That he can do whatever you want. But if you're a cab driver, you get a ticket for everything.
I know, but you
ask... And it's gotten horrible. I mean,
you ask where are the police, I'll tell you where the police are. They're busy writing speeding tickets for a guy going 27 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone.
Keeping the city safe. Keeping the city safe from those 25 miles.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I'll tell you, it's what they got to do is start registering and insuring the bicycle, in at least in the central business district of Manhattan, okay? You got a lot of people, a lot of bicycles, and these bicycle delivery people and a couple of the, especially the bicycle food people delivering, they want you to hit them. I mean, I've seen a few times where passengers open the door and the guy with, allegedly they're delivering food, will go around the cab and beeline to where the person is going to be getting out with the door. And it's not my imagination. And there's a lot of quality of life stuff that just is not being addressed. I mean, at what point does de Blasio... when does he do something? I mean, why is it politically incorrect to enforce quality of life sentences? I mean, you can't let the city become a Dodge City here. I mean, when Giuliani came in, okay, maybe in his second term he went overboard, but by God, in his first term he cleaned it up. And I really, you know, I wonder who exactly is running the show at City Hall. I mean, Abe, you have no idea what's going on here. I don't know if it's happening in Florida, but up in New York you get some crazy people just running buck wild in the streets,
mm-hmm.
literally.
Well, I noticed the first thing Giuliani did when he got into office was he got rid of all of the dirt on the streets, meaning the hookers and the pimps and the junkies
sweetie.
And the, you know that East Village, Alphabet City as they called it, was full of heroin addicts. Okay, and they would take you there. They would take you there. Okay, you wouldn't know what's going on. They were going there just to shoot up drugs, right? And they'd say, wait for me.
Oh, yeah.
Wait for me, I'll be right back. And then they would always leave you in a spot where you couldn't follow them, you know, so that they used to walk back in the other direction, okay? And my policy was simple. I don't care how much money is on the meter. If he's not back in 3 minutes, I'm gone. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
right.
That's why you're alive today, because you had a good office pile.
Yeah, right. Okay, but Giuliani...
That's one of the few things...
Yeah, Giuliani cleaned that stuff up. Okay?
So it was simple.
Yeah.
I mean, he cleaned it up quick.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's such a big deal.
Well,
that's one of the few times I had a gun pointed at me was in the Lower East Side. It's, I had this little white, this lily white girl,
mm-hmm.
Wasn't even raised in the city, very nice. She's like, la, 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 la. I think she's like post-college girl or something. And she's going to, I think, Avenue C and Fifth Street. This is back in the 90s when the crack epidemic was full-blown. I said, mister, do me a favor when I pull up. Look, before I got there, I said, mister, just do me a favor. When I pull up, just pay me now, and I'll bring you down the block. I'll wait for you to get inside. But don't hold the door for anybody. She goes, what? Don't hold the door. I said, yeah, don't hold my door open in the cab for anybody, because I'm probably, you know, I said, I'm probably going to get coffee in the legalese. I said, I'm going to go get coffee, or I'm going to go to the bathroom or something, because I know it's going to go on there. I'm going to drop her off, and the second I drop her off, it's going to be five crackheads bum rushing the cab. Yeah. Sure enough, here comes the three crackheads bum rushing the cab. Mm. I said, no, I'm sorry, I got to get something to eat. He goes, yo, you got to let me in, bro. You got to let me in, bro. And the guy stank. So first I could refuse him because he was very smelly and disgusting. I could smell it before he even got in the cab. I said, nah, dude, I can't let you in. I got to do something. And so I closed the door, and he starts chasing me down the street with a gun in his hand. He goes, pull over, bro. Pull over. I'll kill you. Pull over. Running down the middle of the street with a gun, like commando style, chasing me.
Where was this?
And this was on Avenue, I think it was like some, it was like Avenue C or D and like Fifth Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull up, I get to the red light, so I go, I beep the horn, there's a woman at the red light sitting in her car. She sees the guy chasing me with the gun in his hand. She won't go through the light. I'm like, beep, 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 beep. She looks at me, she's just like a deer in the head, like she's frozen. I'm like, beep, 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 beep. I said, miss, move, move. I yelled at her, I was like, move, there's a guy chasing me with a gun. She sits there, like she's not going to move until the light changes. I said, at what point do you take a little initiative and run the red light? Maybe she was just like scared to death. So I had to drive up on the curb, scraping the chassis, and I was basically able to whip out of there. And I looked in the rearview mirror. I see the guy, like, running around her car, still chasing me, because I guess he was so, like, you know, effed up on crack or meth or whatever, that he was chasing a cab going 50 miles an hour while he's running 10 miles an hour. So hopefully he's dropped dead between then and now. But he did, in fact, chase me with a gun. Mm-hmm. And I did, in fact, make the right call not picking him up. So it would be nice if some of these TLC people got a hack license. And see how much, get into the fun and the frolic of driving a cab. But back then in the 90s, it was just full on crack epidemic. Well, Abe, you got robbed a couple times, right?
No, I got robbed once. I
got robbed once.
You know, well, robbery, there's a distinction between robbery and larceny. Okay?
Larceny.
Okay? Uh-huh. And I found that out one evening in Brooklyn, okay? When, a bunch of a nice young gentlemen got into my taxi on the corner of Utica Avenue and at St. John's Place, I believe. Okay, they started reaching for my shirt pocket where the money was. Okay. And one of them did. I felt hands on my shoulder from the rear. I don't know where they were coming from, and I
no partition. You didn't have a partition.
I don't recall, but if I did, the partition was open, and one of them was in the front seat or whatever, and I reached for the door handle to try to get out of the cab, right?
Right.
And when I did that, I think they thought I was reaching for a gun, and they all got out of the cab.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went and I found the police car parked somewhere on Eastern Parkway, yeah. Right? And I told them what happened, and the cop goes like this. He goes, "Oh, sounds like a larceny. It wasn't even a robbery." He said, "You know, what are you bothering me with this petty stuff?" You know?
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And a couple of times I did have money stolen from my shirt pocket. They say don't carry cash in your shirt pocket, you know, but I do it anyway. It's a convenient spot, all right?
Right.
One time on Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg, it was south of Broadway, so it wasn't in that district, north of Broadway, which is a little different kind of neighborhood, okay? And I was maybe around Flushing Avenue or something like that, okay? And somebody grabbed my money, okay, out of my shirt pocket, okay? And that's happened a couple of times. It happened, I can't recall exactly where. It was another time. But one time, a guy put a knife to my neck. That's a robbery.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a robbery.
Yeah, he put a knife to my neck. He took He said, give me the money, okay? I picked this guy up on Park Avenue between 33rd and 32nd Street, him and a buddy of his, all right? And I mm-hmm. took them to the corner of Borum and Bond and, I forget the other street, Borum or something like that. It was in that section just over the Brooklyn Bridge, okay? And when we got there, he put a knife to my neck, okay? This didn't have a partition, this taxi, okay? And
nice.
And said, give me the money. And I said to him, I grabbed the money and I handed it to him. And I didn't look at him. They say, don't look at these people because they don't want you to recognize them.
Right.
Right. And I gave I gave him the money and I said to him, don't hurt me. I said to him.
Yeah.
He took the money and ordered me out of the cab. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I had a button in the front seat that releases the trunk, and at some point, maybe when I was getting out of the cab, I might have accidentally, not intentionally, hit that button, and the trunk of the cab flew open, right?
Oh.
And but anyway, he got in the front, and he took the cab, okay?
And
I was standing there. Now this happened in 1986. I remember, okay? And I was
86. Wow.
Yeah, and I was standing there with exactly one penny in my pocket. Okay. All right, one penny. All right. And I'm thinking to myself, how the hell am I going to get home? How am I going to get anywhere? Okay.
Right.
And this is a great story, I'm telling you. Some guy with a tow truck pulls up and he says to me, get in. We saw the whole thing. Now this happened in broad daylight. Okay, I want to say. All right.
Where was it again?
It was Baltic and Bond. That's what I couldn't think of. Baltic and Bond. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right? And this guy says, get in. My buddy's following him. We saw the whole thing. And I go, and uh-huh. I got into this tow truck with this guy, right? And we're riding around looking for his buddy, and he can't find him. And I say to him, after about 10 or 12 minutes, I said to him, listen, take me to the police station, I said to him. And when I got to the police station, This cop said, oh, the driver is here. And I go, what do you mean? They already had the car, right?
Wow.
They had the taxi. Uh-huh. And what happened was when this guy realized somebody was chasing him, he abandoned the car. And the police yeah. took a hold of the car. Okay, and they brought uh-huh. me into the police station and they asked me if I want to look at mugshots. So I said, okay, and they pull out a stack of Polaroid pictures, you know, about 12 inches high or so, right? And right. I start going through them, and I go, it's not him, it could be him. And the cop says, you have to be positive. And I said to him, then don't show me these pictures, because I wouldn't know, I didn't get a good look at them, I said to them.
Right.
Right. And then after a little while, they let me go back to the car. And at that time, I was running two taxis, okay? And I had picked up money. You know, everything was cash then. No, there's no credit cards, right?
Yeah.
And I picked up the week's worth of lease money from the two cars, okay? And in my bag was a wad of bills, close to $1,000, right? And uh-huh. the cop is holding my bag, right? And he says to me, is this your bag? And I said, yeah. And I zipped open the bag and I pulled out the wad of money that was still in there, right? And the first words out of my mouth was, that schmuck, right? Because he only got like 80 bucks out of my pocket, right? And I said, that uh-huh. schmuck. He took my $80 and he didn't bother to take the bag with him, right? And uh-huh. the cop looked at me. You should have seen the look on this cop's face when I pulled out that wad of money, right?
Right.
I won't say any more, but I think maybe he was thinking to himself, I could have had that.
He could have had that, right?
Yeah. Just blame it on the criminal, right?
Right. I'm sorry, Mr. Middleman, all your money's gone. You know? I used to know a cab driver. He used to keep his money. He had some crazy collar where he kept his big bills under the collar of his vicious dog. He had this really like mean, vicious dog. But he used to keep the money underneath the dog's collar. So I guess that's a pretty good space. Yeah. He had like taped it to the collar of the dog. So it's like, okay, you want the money? Go past the dog to get it. So,
yeah.
But the cab story, I'm glad it had a happy ending, man. A lot of these cab stories, they don't. But I guess that's why some of the crime is down, because we're getting 80% credit cards now. And it's gotten to the point of being ridiculous.
Well, that was one of the arguments for having the credit cards, that it would decrease the criminal acts against taxi drivers.
Well, now it's not a criminal act, but we need a fare increase just to compensate for that, because we're losing 5% of the fare, especially if somebody doesn't tip. I mean, if somebody doesn't tip, then we are in fact getting a 5% decrease on the fare. I had a guy a few nights ago. I mean, he had a nice little JFK to Manhattan trip, no tip, thank you very much. So I'm getting charged 5% on the tunnel toll, and I'm getting charged 5% on the 52, so 57 times. I'm losing three. I got a fare decrease of $3. So if there's any class action lawyers out there looking for a lawsuit, maybe you can look into that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being, that's kind of like, and I just filled up with gas, and the gas station doesn't have a problem, and I don't have a problem paying a little bit more using the credit card. Do they have a cash price, or they have a credit price? So maybe it's time to look into that as far as why are we incentivizing people to give us less money? That's what I'm looking at. We're incentivizing people to give us less money. So this is the craziness that's upon us now.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it pays off on a big trip. Like if somebody wants to go somewhere, you can incentivize them. Well, we take a credit card, but... oh, and by the way, they got these taxi information people who I wish they would just mind their own freaking business. They're not even dispatchers. They have these information booths inside the terminals.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some people say, like, how much is it? I asked the guy how much is it good to tip the driver. They said, oh, from Kennedy to Manhattan, you maybe give me a tip of like $2 or $3. I'm like, $2 or $3? I felt like just driving the cab back to the airport. They listen to cheap bastard. $2 or $3 is not a tip, it's an insult. Why don't you mind your own freaking business?
Mm-hmm.
$2 or $3, $60 trip. See what happens if you try that in a restaurant. They'll grab you by the scruff and throw you into the street with a plate of spaghetti over your head. Maybe, hopefully. So anyway, listen, I got to go to work.
I know.
What time is it now?
I'm going to let you go to work, but I want to just say that it's been in the news this week also that they're going to increase the enforcement at the airports against these illegal hustlers that are taking away your business. Okay, and
yeah.
Somebody had videoed a hustler in action at JFK,
yeah.
And it was on Twitter, and I tweeted it. I retweeted it to the TLC. I'm sure they're getting all of this information anyway. Okay.
Good.
So
good.
Let's hope that maybe finally, now that it's in the news, and it's been in the news before, but now the Port Authority police say that they're going to crack down. Okay.
Well, it's about damn time, because
yeah.
I tell you, last week they had a hustler apparently was running from the Port Authority police. I wonder, he went through the guardrail and smashed into another car or something, or some weird thing.
He drove off the second floor to the first floor, something like that, right? I mean, that there was no road in between. Okay. I
right.
mean, it was, it's hard. I don't know how you would survive something like that. Where did that happen? Do you know?
Well, I think it happened in Terminal B, which is the main terminal, which is under construction.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of you have seen the construction at Terminal B, maybe the guy's not so crazy after all. I say instead of repairing it, just leave it like that and let the cars just like drive off the second floor and do like an Evel Knievel onto the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll save some time. Just
fill
the ramp. Do something. It's like a madhouse over there.
Yeah.
But this guy was, apparently, he took the shortcut to less traveled, smashed through the guardrail, went off the second floor onto the first floor, and smashed into a car. So,
Then ran away. Then he ran away.
He got out of the car
and then ran away to his girlfriend or his wife. Had another car that was waiting for him or something.
Oh, boy. She sure can pick him.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Sure.
This is a weird story. I got to look further into this. If anybody out there,
we'll have the scoop next week. Oh, by the way, the the city council is getting closer to passing a bill to stop the glut of these dopey Uber cars. Oh, good news from our department, Abe. Apparently, the Uber is not getting their cars out during the day. People don't take, slash, a lot of drivers don't drive Uber cars during the day. And I've seen that, which I couldn't believe it. But at night, it's a locust swarm of part-time Uber drivers. These people who work nights as doormen, janitors, crazy little jobs, they've gotten into the habit of taking their cars into the city and sneaking a few Uber jobs on the side. So this part-time gig, get your side hustle on routine, the full-timers really aren't making a lot of money with Uber, but the fly-by-nights are using Uber phones and cars to make like $50 and $60. And I had another one of my little situations on the street yesterday where I had an Uber driver, fake Uber driver. He had a black Camry with the windows down. It was 85 degrees. So right there it tells you he's up to something. And he had a woman in the car. And he like, just bum-rushed the cab. He almost hit the cab when I was merging out of the cab line, going to a red light. He came real close to slamming the brakes. I said, and I got into a shouting match with him. I said, listen, you don't even have a license. He goes, I do have a license. I said, you don't have a license. He goes, I do have a license. And but he didn't show me the license. So yeah. He showed me a license. He didn't show me his license.
Right.
And then the lady got out. So apparently, then after she got out, he gave me a dirty look, but he didn't pursue the I do too have a license routine. So I guess he was BSing all the way through. So she got very upset because he kept screaming, I have a license, but he wouldn't show her the license. So he was a rascal. But we have thousands of these guys working at night, bogus Uber drivers who borrow their friend's phone, borrow their friend's car. They don't have a license from the taxi commission, and they're a public threat. And you're getting to the point where ambulances and regular deliveries can't service their customers to compensate for thousands of needless cars blockading the city all day long. So hopefully the city council will do something about it, 3 years late, but at least it's something. So,
well,
hey,
it appears to me they don't have a choice. Go to work, Mike. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our sponsors, the MTBOT, Checker Management, WB Taxi. Yep. Who else we got? Queen's Medallion. Tony Tax and Peter Joseph. I want to thank our sponsors. And, if you want to sponsor us, come online. Get your ad on NYC Taxi News. Just go to our front page and get in touch with us. Okay?
There you go.
What more can I say?
Listen, okay. Hey, thank you very much. I'll see you in New York. I'm on the road again.
Mike, get out there. There's a lot of work. Yep. It's Sunday afternoon, and there are a lot of people looking for yellow taxis.
I'm on my way.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in.
Good night, New York.
We'll see you again real soon.